Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to Late Night Sessions, a podcast that shines a spotlight on the musical artists who pass through Studio AG. On today's show, you'll hear an interview with the AG Band, whose members are Fred Armisen, Sid Butler, Seth Jabor, Eli Janney, and Marnie Stern.
Hi, I'm Fred Armisen. This is Late Night Sessions. We're here in the rehearsal room with the AG Band in Studio AG, walking distance from where we tape the show. So I'm behind a little electronic kit, and over there behind the keyboards is Eli Janney.
Hello, Fred.
Eli and I have known each other a very long time, since the mid-90s.
Uh-huh.
On guitar, Marnie Stern.
Hello, Fred.
Marnie and I have known each other a very long time as well. Not as long as Eli and I. On bass.
Sid Butler, living the dream.
And Seth Jabor on guitar.
Hi, Fred.
How you doing? We've also known each other a long time. We've all toured together. I've played some shows with Marnie, played some shows with Le Savvy Fav. And solo stuff, I've played with half of Le Savvy Fav, I guess. So they're from that band. And Eli is, should I say currently with, or...
Sure.
Girls Against Boys.
Girls Against Boys, which Trench Mouth opened up for.
That's right.
In, it's like 94?
Yeah. Was it more than one show? No, maybe
I
just
can't
one.
Remember.
But I've seen you guys a bunch. Anyway.
Fred, why don't you talk about how you put together the band?
So the way that this band came together, and this is now 5 years ago, is that...
5 year anniversary.
Seth Meyers.
Oh, sorry.
You know, he was taking over this show late night, and there was talk of... First of all, having no music, and then, or no band or anything, and then there was going to be a DJ, and then.
Wait, so originally they were going to have no music at all,
or maybe canned music,
or just like canned in and out, like no acknowledgement that it's coming from anywhere.
It just suddenly
appeared. Yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah.
I think just that's like what it was.
At the end of the segment, it suddenly music would play.
Yeah, and then Lauren Michaels just. Asked me if I'd be interested in curating a band.
Oh, actually, but not being in the band originally.
I think it was, the idea wasn't fully formed yet.
Ah.
And it just sort of turned into that. And we started out, I just right away, I think it might have been Matt Schulz who suggested I call you, Eli, first.
Oh, really? Thanks, Matt.
You're the first person I met with. And I'm like, would you be into doing this thing? It was so hard for me to even explain what it was. And
it was, you called me and I remember distinctly. I was in the dentist chair, which I know is one of your favorite places.
It is.
And I said, I'm in the dentist chair. Can I call you back? He's like, yeah. No rush.
Uh-huh.
I got this weird idea. I don't know. Do you want to meet for lunch?
I remember meeting you for lunch.
That's right.
And then putting the rest of the band together, that part was easy with you guys. I was just like, I would...
He's pointing to Sid and Seth.
Yeah, Sid and Seth. That was easy. That was... I've done so much with you guys, and it just... Yeah, that was just easy. Then we had auditions for drummers.
That's right.
And I guess our original or first drummer was Kim Thompson. And I think maybe a month in is when Marnie started.
First week.
Was it the first week?
After the first 8 days to do something. And so I came
shocking.
Before the show had started for those pre-shows. Do you remember?
Yes.
Wait, you came for a pre-show?
I just came to observe. So then I subbed for you.
Right. And you were playing guitar at first.
I was playing guitar at first.
That's right.
And so then it's really weird because now Marnie is like full-time member of the band, but we just started out not with Marnie originally. So you missed it by like literally a week or two.
Right.
Which is about how much time we had before we started taping.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was rather pretty rapid.
Yeah.
When I talked to Seth originally about doing the HE band, I think I was about to do some more Portlandia. So I was like, I would love to do this, but it's going to be very limited because I'm working on some other stuff. And it's kind of kept going that way. It's a really weird relationship in which I'm here sometimes and a lot of the time not here.
Mm-hmm.
Every year I kept thinking that was going to be it. I was like, well, then I'll get back to it and I'll be able to do it more. And then I was like, well, there's this one more thing I got to do. But I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I feel like it's working out great. I'm happy I get to come back at all. They're very nice to let me do this. And then I don't know how many years in I switched to drums.
I think it was less than 2 years.
Was it? I can't
remember. Yeah, because remember, we were three guitar players for a little while up front.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. So then I switched to drums, and then for that, we went with having fill-in drummers temporarily. So that's how that worked.
That's how we started the drum sit-ins. Mm. Basically, we were like, oh, let's get our friends. And we just, you know, we know all these
with
drummers.
Matt Schultz,
and people, we were like, oh, we had Matt Schultz, and we had people come in who we just knew, who were friends. And then we kind of expanded, like, wow, since now we have this opportunity, who else could we get? And we just started, Eric Lederman, one of the producers, who's a drummer himself, started putting together this list, and we would just feed him names. And he would reach out to these people and try to, you know, get them. And now it's become a thing where we've had so many drummers.
Yeah. I mean, every time we had like a fill-in drummer, I thought that was going to be like our fill-in drummer forever or two or three. But then all of a sudden it turned into like 8 and 20. And then now it's like a whole system.
Now it's a whole system. And I will say it's because the job was a little bit Groundhog Day, since we do the same kind of thing every day. It's really fun having somebody new come in every week and just completely different vibe and style of playing.
Yeah, I'm glad it works out that way. Also, we get to know more drummers and stuff. OCD-wise, originally drove me crazy because, you know, since drumming is such a big part of the cues and stuff, I was like, I just kept getting nervous. I was like, oh, they're not going to get it. Not you guys, I'm saying. The new person is not going to get how that goes. But it seems to have worked out. I remember telling Eric Lederman I wanted this position to be boring. So I just want a boring drummer, nice and boring, so that there's nothing. but
luckily, that didn't work out.
I mean, you know, it was more like for my own convenience, so I didn't have to think about it. Like, oh, it's going to be predictable and it'll always be the same, but that doesn't necessarily help the show.
I can't believe it's been 5 years, but how much has your view of, like, the band changed? Like, when we first started, I just remember we were all very nervous.
Yeah.
The four of us had never done TV other than playing, you know, like, one song with our bands on Conan or something like that. But
yeah.
But on a regular TV show, we'd never really done that before. You had a lot of TV experience, but we were all crazy nervous. Now I feel like we're kind of got it down, but what is your view of the band? How's it changed now that we're in year 5?
Well, something happened where we figured out what works for us best.
Yeah.
And also there was that whole thing of, like, originally we had like 3 parts to every song, and they had to, like, we overthought
a lot of overthinking.
Complicated. Like, we did a new wave song last week, and then over the years, or even quicker than that, well, I think within the year, we're like, it makes no difference. Seth Meyers reacts most when the songs are simple. He'll sort of look over and sort of tap his, you know, hand or whatever, and then we just figured out, just keep it simple. It works great. There's no reason to go so crazy. Then we stole the idea from Tonight Show Band, Questlove's band, with The Roots, where they record their rehearsals and play back right before we play.
A game changer.
That was the best thing that ever happened.
Yep.
I wouldn't have been able to memorize all those songs every day.
I think our catalog would be like 35 to 50 songs or something. You know, we would be recycling
charting
the same music.
Everything out. Yeah.
Yeah. Eli, how many songs have we done so far, or pieces of music, in the 5 years?
That's a good question. Let's see if I can quickly look that up. But
we can come back to it.
I would estimate
4,000.
What would you guess?
I'd say we probably have done 4,000. Jeez. I would say we're maybe somewhere between 3,000 and 4,000
yeah.
songs in quotes, because these are simplified, like two-part little instrumentals. We're not writing lyrics for that. But let's back up for a second. Marnie, before you started doing this, what were you doing?
I'll tell you, but I'm thinking of the 4,000 songs when I tell people we write the songs every day and they say, but what about the words? And I say, there are no words. And then they're like, oh, well, it's not a song. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
And I say, have you heard of Mozart?
Or jazz.
Yeah.
What was I doing? Not much. What was I doing?
You had a career, Marnie Stern.
Yes, I was touring a lot. A lot.
How many albums have you put out as Marnie Stern?
4.
That's a good catalog.
From 2007 to 2013, I think.
Oh, so you were working right up until...
Yeah, when I came here, I had just come off a tour, finishing a tour for my last record.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
And now here you are, 2 kids later.
Uh-huh. I still imagine that your career is still going, though. Although you might feel differently, to me, I think of it as you did all those albums, but I love those albums. I love your guitar playing.
I still have more material. I'm just...
Taking your time?
Exhausted from parental responsibilities and a regular job.
Regular job tends to cut down on your free time. What about you, Sid? You were in La Savie Fave, but what about your record label?
I still do the record label, French Kiss Records. We're celebrating our 20th year this year, which is very exciting. And La Savie Fave are still doing shows here and there. Same thing with Marnie. Seth and I were touring and putting records out, and then this fell in our lap, so we're very grateful.
And you get a call from Fred out of the blue.
Hashtag
I got a call
blessed.
From Fred out of the blue.
Hashtag namaste.
I remember where I was and what I was doing.
Did I call you?
Yeah.
Was it a text or a
call?
Call
me a name.
Seth, what do you remember? Do you remember the call from Fred?
I do. I was at Fail Studios in Greenpoint. Fail is a street artist. And I did some work for them for these video game installations that they had done in London, New York, and Miami. So I think at this time I was like really working hard on this Miami show. And they had let me use a section of their studio, which was this tiny little lofted area where they had all these canvases rolled up. And it was like the most dingy, dusty little place.
Yeah.
But I loved it. I had all my business set up there.
I remember going over there.
Did you come over?
Yeah,
right.
I went over.
And that's where Fred called me. It was great, too, because my wife was like 6 months pregnant with twins. So,
twins.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that. So she was pregnant before.
Yeah, because they were born June. We started February, and the kids were born in June. So she was maybe not quite 6 months pregnant at the time. But I knew that they were coming. It was inevitable that I was going to have twins.
Wow.
Seth Jabor also, he was sort of part of something with Seth Meyers, in which Seth's last, as he was finishing up SNL, I wanted to give him a present. And Seth wrote lyrics to the...
Which Seth?
Seth Meyers
wrote lyrics
to The History of Punk, this sketch with Ian Rubbish. Uh-huh. So to me, I was like, Seth is a good punk rock lyric writer. Seth Meyers.
Uh-huh.
So as a sort of gift, I wanted to give him an award, an official punk award, right? It's like a guitar player. It's
a little trophy.
A little trophy to be like, Seth, you get the official, you are officially a punk. And Seth Jabor is the one who made it.
Oh.
I went to Jabor and I was like, can you make this thing for me? And Seth Meyers still has it.
Yeah, we did a fun songbook for Kristen Wiig for Cat and Garth.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? That was like the first thing we did when she left the show. And that was really fun. And the model building one, I had to sort of employ the help of some friends of mine who had like a model shop. But that was cool. I like that one.
Yeah.
I think Seth still has it in his office.
Yeah. And then what about you? What were you doing, Eli?
I was just working in the studio, producing bands, mixing, doing a lot of mixing. I already had 2 kids, just trying to hustle up some money in this dying music business.
Didn't you produce the live Wilco album?
Yeah, I did a bunch of mixing for a series of films that Brendan Canty were making, concert films, including the Wilco
Yeah.
Ashes of American Flags. I did the surround mix on that. But yeah, this was a new challenge and very fun.
But now, I mean, over the years, we made it easier and easier.
It's easy, but it's not easy.
We developed some techniques. And also, we did go down a lot of dead ends trying out different things. And we got a little too complicated on some things.
Yeah.
We got this shoemaker over the glasses look. Like, what the are you guys doing?
He's one of the producers. And the way it works when I'm not around is like Eric will send me a link to the show, so I just scroll through it. It's always great, so it's hard to say, you know, I'll text everyone, hey, great job.
Great.
But I do mean
great.
To say like great job. It always sounds good. I do actually, as corny as it sounds, I always feel very proud. I'm like, oh, look at them. They look great too, you know?
I think we all appreciate you checking in on us as the band leader, whether you're here in the room with us or you're in Guatemala.
Yeah.
It's nice to know that you're still a part of the team.
I know. I wish there was a way I could be in the band remotely. In the future, maybe they'll do that.
Yeah, we'll do that.
We'll
put up one of those mirrors that has the screen in
it.
And you hologram. Can
just
stand
there. Just like a giant FaceTime screen.
But Eli takes over when I'm not here. He's got all the recordings, plays. He has a sort of other role, which is like the engine, the DJ. Like he sort of plays us everything that we know. He sort of catalogs everything.
Oh, yeah.
And then, like Marnie was saying, we write everything on the day because it's too expensive to do covers. So it is a weird win-win situation where,
Oh, sure.
That's the thing is that it's so much more interesting to write stuff.
Yeah.
I can't imagine doing it the other way.
It's very cathartic for me personally to have this thing where you come in, you have a creative moment with your buddies that you've known. I mean, I've known Seth since I was 17, Eli since I was 14.
We're not buddies.
We're work.
This bunch of knuckleheads.
Colleagues.
But we've known each other a long time, so I think it's very easy for us to quickly write. But for me, it's just cathartic. It's sort of this situation where you come in, you write, and then the next day you have to write again, and you're not attached to... It's not like you're making a record. Where, like, these songs have to be so precious.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
Forever. Yeah. It's like those monks that make those sand art and then they blow it away. It's sort of...
Just like those monks.
Just like Namaste. Just like... But it's true. I think it is kind of funny how we've gotten so quick at writing songs, and then you think back to how difficult it was to write songs when you were in bands.
Yes, but that's comfort with each other. If you walked into a room with four strangers to sit down and write, there would be more hesitation. It's because we're so comfortable. I often think when the drummer comes in and we're like, okay, and now, okay, great, part A, part B, next song. If that were me and I walked into that, I'd
it's a little
be
a
creep.
It's
yeah.
a little bewildering for the drummers.
It's very fast.
I try to prep them for that moment.
So, yeah, we just write little tunes. They're like, I don't know, a minute each or something. We give them little funny titles. Right now I'm looking at a dry erase board and we just write the titles and the chords.
What's the funniest one today? North of Seattle.
I like Alfred.
Yeah,
Alfred.
Alfred.
We have
just seems like
Alfred,
that's a friendly song.
We were talking about Alfred Hitchcock. And it's really weird how we write because we also try to make good use of time. So sometimes Sid, I'll look at him and I'll think, oh, he's distracted. He's on his phone. He'll look, but.
I never think that.
No, but we're all chatting away. And then Sid looks up and goes, how about this? And he'll come up with a great bass line. And all of a sudden, that's what we start playing.
Well, so, that's the thing is the inspiration could kind of come from anywhere. It's like sometimes this afternoon, Seth and I were listening to some Can stuff off of YouTube, and we're like, "Yeah, let's do." That's where the pre-vile came from.
Ah,
you
really?
Know, but that's a cool. Well, it morphs,
amazing.
But that's
yeah,
the
yeah,
thing.
That's
you start
so cool.
with an idea, and then everybody starts adding to it, and then it changes into the song, and then that's what we ended up with. That's the thing that I think everybody brings in a little bit of something.
It's also fun when we do the live shows because the songs we have to play for the full commercial break, which we don't usually have to do. So if it's 5 minutes, then we sort of jam the songs, and that's
usually when
that's a different vibe.
That's where I figure out this was a great idea for a song or this was a terrible idea for a song.
5 minutes.
This works great for 30 seconds.
We start sweating for real. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if the people at home know that we play through the whole commercial break, a minute and a half or 2 minutes long. But then when we do it live, they're upwards of 5.5 minutes.
But growing up, when I would watch those shows and they'd come back from the commercial with them playing, I just had assumed that they were playing the whole time.
Yeah.
Some the late night bands do and some don't.
Yeah.
But I've been on a few where they stop
in between. They sort of start a song and then they
That's what go. They do, but you assume that they are playing the whole time when they come because they leave going and they come.
Mm-hmm. But what makes sense though is that when they stop, everyone in the studio could talk to each other, like the directors and stuff. So I wonder if we drive everyone crazy because they have to shout the whole time. Maybe we do.
I'm glad that we do it. It feels a little yes, punk right. where we came from.
Right. Yeah. I just think they're so cool.
Plus the crew enjoys it.
I think they do.
Sometimes. Oh, yeah. We get good feedback from the crew.
I hope they do. So we've had some, even though we've had fill-in drummers, by the way, every musician has been great. You know, we've had guitar players, we've had singers and stuff. So we've had St. Vincent.
Jay yep. Maskus.
Captain Sensible.
Kate Pearson.
Kate Pearson.
Jack Antonoff.
Petra yeah. Hayden.
Lucius.
Maya Rudolph.
Yeah, some of the singers. And then we had Craig Finn, I think.
Oh, yeah. For a whole week.
He was really, really fun. He was one of the few people who could write lyrics as fast as we could write songs.
Yeah.
That was a pretty impressive. That's a really fun time for us, I think, because you're adding a layer of something that we don't normally have.
You get to work with the person.
Yeah.
It's weird because it's also the hearing singing, too, is such a different sound for this band. I remember every time we have a singer, everyone goes around the studio and they're like, oh, we have to have more singers. Mm-hmm. But it's been a little while. I think we just forget.
Telling you, people think when they're singing, they're really into the singing part of a song in non-musician world. Musicians don't really care that much about that aspect, no. I think. Do you guys? You can listen to the other parts.
Yeah.
I have pitch perfect hearing for singing, though.
Really?
I do. A. A sharp. B.
I don't think you're.
What's that one?
E.
Fred, can you do A flat?
A flat.
E flat is the same as what,
flat? A flat is the same as D, is the same as E.
Let me hear D sharp.
That's weird.
D sharp. D. D sharp.
You did it. Perfect. Incredible.
I could do that throat singing where there's two notes at the same time. I'm going to do E and A.
Is that throat singing?
Yeah.
It's very holy. This is the throat singing monk.
It's like a sort of vibration of the throat, and you just create two tones.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Thank you so much, Fred.
Thank you so much. So, everyone out there.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks very much for listening. You can call in. No, to our audience out there, I know you watch the show for us.
Thanks for everyone for coming out.
We know you do.
Come to New York and check it out.
I want to thank my guests for coming tonight.
Yay.
Marnie Stern.
Yay.
Sid Butler. Zet Jabor. And of course, Fred Armisen. I'm Eli Janney for the AG Band. Thanks for listening to Late Night Sessions.
Late Night with Seth Meyers airs weeknights on NBC at 12:35, 11:35 Central. Original music on the Late Night podcast is by the HG Band. Don't forget to follow the handle Late Night Seth on social media and tell your friends to subscribe to the Late Night podcast wherever they get their podcasts.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.